If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and peace of the Supreme Divine Presence. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is the stress-relieving art of non-doing and involvement. The stress-relieving art of non-doing and involvement. So let's begin with a cleansing breath. Take a deep breath, gentle, through your nostrils, and exhale through your mouth. Let's do it together. And take another very gentle but deep breath through your nostrils and exhale through your mouth. Let's do it together. Get all the air out. Now with your next breath, just connect to that still point in your mind, which is the presence of God, and that still, peaceful place within your heart that is also the presence of that one beloved. Take a deep breath. And allow that divine presence to fill your mind, to fill your thoughts, to fill your heart, and to spread its peace throughout your nervous system and every cell of your body. See yourself in an envelope of peace, a bubble of peace, a portable paradise of peace. Place yourself exactly in the center of God's peace, which is ever present. It never leaves. It's as close as your willingness to enter that peace right now. So ask, if you will, to be shown what's important for you to release today. That would be anything that is causing you duress, stress, dis-ease. Wherever you're not at ease in your mind, your emotions, your life, your relationships, the Prince of Peace, the Divine Spirit, has come to reveal that peace to you and me and all of us. It's not something that you have to fight to have. It's not something that you have to work to have. It's the gift when you allow yourself to rest in God, as a planet rests in space. Just to visualize yourself. Maybe not like a planet, unless, of course, that works for you. But imagine that you're like a leaf, gently borne aloft and carried by the wind of the Divine Spirit. Feel the strength, that upholds you. Recall how the birds glide on the air currents. I'm sure you've watched a flight of many geese or starlings or blackbirds flying in formation, upheld by the air currents, or playing and maneuvering and flowing as the air currents change and shift. What bliss they must be experiencing. But that's also how we're designed, to flow with the currents of the Divine Spirit. We are not meant to be fixated points of conditioned energy. We're meant to be absolutely free-flowing awareness. And we're simply upheld by that Divine Spirit. We're upheld at all times by that Divine Spirit. So anytime we import the separated egoic mind into the equation, we have stress. And that's what we want to look at tonight. Not the stress, but the stressors, the things that put us in that state where we forget that we are formless awareness, omnipresent being. We've only shown up here in this holodeck, this hologram, to bring love into visible presentation, that's all. We're just divine love here presenting. We are tributaries of grace. We are conduits of blessings and grace. That's all. There's no stress in that when you're serving your true function here. It's when the mind tries to create something else. And the part of the mind that does that, of course, is the part that we call the ego, the part that wants to edge God out. So, contemplate this, if you like. Creation is complete in all of the galaxies, universes, sun and moon worlds, realms, planets, and dimensions. All creation is complete beneath the fifth plane of soul. So everything you see when you open the body's eyes, look through a telescope or a microscope or any other viewing device, you're seeing only the past. You're seeing nothing new under the sun. So what is new is you. Because you are a soul, an individualized extension of the love, power, will, wisdom, and creative intelligence of the one divine creator. You are real. Everything else is old news, history, done, finished, complete. So you've already done all of this before. That's why you have prophecy. That's why you have deja vu. That's why you have a sense when you meet some people, oh, I know you. We're old friends. And you scratch your head sometimes if you don't believe in reincarnation, and you wonder where you met that person. you understand it was in a past life, if you understand rebirth. But even that is a sort of mood making in time space that has no actual reality when you get high enough in spirit. Because when you get high enough, you realize you're one with God, always have been, always will be, and you've never, ever left home. You've never left the heart of God. So what you've entered into is a play of consciousness. In fact, the entirety of mind that we share with every sentient being is like a river of thoughts, conditioned thoughts. You don't have to do anything with it. You are not the mind. You are the witness of the mind. So let the river of thoughts pass through. You don't have to grab those thoughts or think they're your thoughts or identify with them or do anything with them at all. Just let it all pass through like a parade. Just watch it. In fact, you don't have to watch it for very long because the part that watches pretty soon will transcend to the level beyond thought. Now, imagine, if you will, that the world is also a river, a raging river of conditioned currents and eddies of thoughts, beliefs, and it's always rushing by, seemingly upon a timeline, where there are sequential events that occur in a past, present, future orientation. But that's just conditioned belief that has no actual reality. The world, too, is conditioned energy of past history. You can watch it also from the divine witness. And just let it be. You do not have to be involved with the content of your mind or the content of the world, which is simply the collective mind on parade. So people, when they're in the, well, people when they're in the ego form, but people in general are like individualized energy conglomerates of conditioning, attachments, desires, and points of identity. So, in truth, none of us are really here. So what we see walking about is really karma and confusion, or conditioning and confusion, because karma is simply a term that means action, and it creates the condition in which we find ourselves and the world and our environment. It's past history. It's done. It's over. So, since we've already done all of this before, you've already completed this lifetime and all of your lifetimes in a second out of time, which we can't really describe, but out of time, it was already completed. In time, right now, where we think we are, we're having a run-through. Why? So that we can do any positive editing and reenactment that we'd like to twerk or tweak or improve, upgrade a little. Now, 99% of our life is already pre-scripted. The general theme and outcome is preset. Your choice and mine is in how we're choosing to walk through the labyrinth. Will we start on the right side or the left side? Or how are we going which path are we going to choose to get to our preset destination? So we have certain choices as to how we're going to go toward what it is we have already established as our overarching goal for this incarnation. But we will definitely arrive at our chosen destination. There is no possibility of failure whatsoever. None. Absolutely none. So whatever is in your life is the very best thing that could happen to bring you home by the fastest possible route. And the home with a capital H that we're speaking of is that place that you never left. It is that place where you remain as God created you in original innocence and peace, but believed that you separated out into time, space, and karmic events. So some of you might be asking, well, if everything is happening for our best, well, what about prison, accidents, addictions, poor choices, death? What about that? What about all the many things that happen? Well, first of all, everything that happens, God will turn to the most incredible blessing for you. So even in the midst of whatever you happen to be experiencing, there is a happy outcome assured. There is no possibility of you being lost, damned for eternity, rejected, abandoned, left behind. None of that. That's all mood-making stories that have been made up by less than fully enlightened individuals. All genuinely enlightened individuals, masters, rishis, sages, satpurushas, avatars, will tell you that you are one with God forever and ever and ever. And you've never done anything wrong. This is so revolutionary to say. You've never done anything wrong. So whenever guilt comes up, that's the ego. Whenever judgment comes up, that's the ego. Whenever any self, I don't know the word to use here, but whenever anything comes up that negates your wholeness and your holiness and your divine lovability and safety, you know it is the voice of the liar, the one that wishes to edge God out. You've never done anything wrong. Whatever is happening in your life will bring you home by the fastest possible route. You live in God. God is within you. God is above you, below you, to your right, to your left. You live like in the center of a fleur-de-lis. If you'd imagine yourself in the center of a fleur-de-lis, a four-petaled flower design, and each of those four petals are the form of the Lord that you most adore. You get to put a face and a form to that formless, faceless, genderless love that supreme, absolute light and truth of the all that is, you get to choose a form for that to appear and interact with you. Be it Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, Rama, Sai Baba, the Mahanta, the mystical traveler, divine mother, whomever, whatever, however, there's one God alone. And your devotion will clothe that divine spirit in a form that you most cherish. You live and move and have your being in that supreme divine presence at all times. You could never be separated. You could never, ever, ever leave it, except in a very bad nightmare from which you are now awakening. What else is enlightenment but becoming aware that you remain as God created you, part and parcel, like sweetness and honey, like air currents in the atmosphere, like the wetness in water, like the foam arising on the wave, the sea. Like that, you are indistinguishable from God. When you know that, get it down into your sneakers, you will no longer let anything in this world or in your mind or anything that anyone says or does ever get to you again. So allow that to sink in, because these are profound truths that will set you free. So the experiences that you have in your life, whatever they are due to situations that have been set into motion at some time and some place. That's called karma. But all of that can be wiped away in an instant when you fully give your life over and allow yourself to be totally lived through by the divine. Allow the divine spirit to choose your words for you, to choose your daily activities for you, to choose the things that you say, the thoughts that you think, the feelings that arise. If the ego tries to bring up something negative or tries to build a cause for your self-condemnation or gives rise to feelings of guilt or shame or fear of blowing it or whatever, simply give that thought over to the Holy Spirit and say, I don't like that thought. I choose the thoughts that you would have me think. I choose the thoughts that I think and share with God. I want God's thoughts, not these silly thoughts. These are not truth, because truth always gives rise to bliss. When you're not wholly joyous, it's because you're looking at something that's not real. So offer it over. Give it up. Release it. So relieving stress through non-doing and non-involvement is a key here. I think probably most of you have either read or seen the film Eat, Pray, Love by Liz Gilbert. It is wonderful. I've watched it several times and probably will watch it several more, because it's like everyone's journey. And when she was in Rome, she caught on to a phrase that she really loved, and it's dolce far niente. Dolce far niente, which in Italian means sweet doing nothing. The sweetness of doing nothing. And she found out, coming from an extremely stressful divorce and life uprooting change, that the people in Rome lived life for the sake of enjoyment. They didn't prioritize the workaday world and the rat race and trying to get ahead and make a buck and all that. No, they prioritized spending time, for example, eating, really enjoying eating. And so she really enjoyed eating while she was in Rome. And they spent hours at the table and hours with their friends and hours with their family. And somehow, everything gets done that needs to get done. But meanwhile, they were enjoying life every day. So are you enjoying your life? Are you actually enjoying every day of your life? And if not, why not? Why not? So we find ourselves stressed out by unnecessary doing, unnecessary thinking, involvement, interfering, and attempting to manipulate situations and their outcome. Who does that? Ah, the egoic mind does that. For only the ego thinks and imagines that it has control. The intuitive divine mind knows through awareness and accepts things as they are without resistance. And when it acts with discerning wisdom. So Jesus taught, resist not evil. Why? Because what you resist, you fortify. When you resist and push against something, that something will resist and push back, right? So resistance is what holds duality in place. If, however, you don't pose any resistance, which means you don't really buy into this as a reality, it simply has nothing to play off of. You know, if someone comes up to you, wants to start a fight, and you don't react, that person's going to be disappointed because there's nothing to play off of. So that person will leave you and go find somebody else to fight with. So don't resist anything. In fact, it's a very good spiritual exercise the next time that you feel like you're being pressured to make a decision or to do something, to choose to do absolutely nothing at all. Just sit back and watch it. And it's funny how situations like that will have their own little drama, their own little momentum, and you can watch the little swirls and the eddies as they come around you and they try to snag you and get you pulled into the current. And if you just sit like a rock and watch it, pretty soon it'll find a way to go its way. Like all rivers, it'll just flow on. And you'll save yourself a lot of problems. Don't allow people and their situations and their karma dramas to hook you where you have no business being. So much of our upset comes because we get into a situation that we don't belong in. It's that person's dharma to handle that situation because they are the ones that have manifested that situation. You'll know what is yours to handle because it's in your life. It's in your face. It's bugging you right now, which means you have to do something about it. What? whatever the Holy Spirit guides you to do. You don't decide on your own what you're to do. What do you know? You go to that which is greater, that is within you, that guides you as you turn to it for direction. Jesus taught us that we are not to think beforehand what we are to say. Say, for example, we're called as he was before kings and emperors and had to give an account for himself. You notice he never spoke when the ego was asking him a question, because he realized the ego was insincere. It was trying to bait him, trap him. He remained silent. Only when there was some modicum of general interest did he respond. So notice when the ego in another person or in yourself is trying to bait you. And just be silent. Be like a rock. Just observe it and be still. And don't allow yourself to get hooked into that involvement. Now, if it is your dharma and you are to be involved, you will be involved in an impersonal way, without personal agenda, without trying to manipulate the outcome. You'll simply be a vehicle and an instrument to bring grace into that situation, to bring light, which very often we're used to do that. But our function then is as mediators of God's grace, mediators of love, mediators of reconciliation, mediators of healing, so that wherever we are in a contentious situation or wherever, we bring the presence of the Lord into that situation. Because the Lord has anointed and appointed each of us to go forth in his name, power and authority, and minister. That's our dharma as his disciples. But we are not the doers. We are simply the ones that are the functionaries that operate in his name, in his power, in his authority. And by the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit, we can do all things. But not on our own steam. We don't have it within us on our own to do anything much else than get in the way and create problems for ourselves and everyone else. So make sure that you're divinely attuned, connected, and guided by the Divine Spirit before you get involved in something. And then trust that the words will be given to you that are just right. Sometimes I stop when someone will ask me a question or I'm in a situation, and sometimes I don't know what to say or what to do. And so I'll ask the Holy Spirit, you know, inwardly, silently, give me the words. What should I say here? How can I be truly helpful? And sure enough, I'll be guided. Thoughts will come into my mind. I'll be prompted to say or do something. And I totally trust that. As a speaker, I've spoken before very huge audiences, thousands of people at conferences. And almost never do I have the luxury of knowing what I'm going to talk about. Usually, 10 minutes before I walk up there on the stage, the Holy Spirit will illumine my mind with a thought that I'm to share. And that was really scary when I first began public speaking. I really had to go on trust. But now I absolutely know with full confidence that whenever I'm called to do anything, whether it's public speaking, this radio show, writing an article, whatever, whatever, that the Holy Spirit will always match whatever is needed, whatever that audience, whatever that person, whatever the situation is, the Holy Spirit will always rise up with what is needed in that situation. And I don't have to know what to say or what to do, because he who has sent me is the doer of all things. I of myself do nothing. Now that's the real dolce far niente. That's the real living a life of true Satchidananda, where you have that sense of eternal existence that goes beyond this body, this personality, this particular role that you're playing, that I'm playing in this lifetime, this tiny little time capsule of localized identity with all of its conditioning and concepts and beliefs and indoctrinations. All of that is like a tiny, tiny speck on the endless shores, endless sand dunes, compared to the immensity of who and what we are for eternity. Truly speaking, there is nothing we have not been, no place we have not gone, nothing we have not experienced in all of existence. And I absolutely love the definition that John Roger gave to gave about God. John Roger, a beautiful spiritual master that's been a teacher of myself and many of us, said that God is the soul that has had all experiences. God is the soul that has had all experiences. And we are all part of that experiencing God, because we're all incarnations of that self-same one Atmic Spirit. So that's why all of the experiences are part of the divine plan. And the, let's say, experiencing and educating of the innocent soul on its way to becoming fully a divine creator. We're in training to become co-creators, co-workers of the divine source. So we need experience to do that. And that's why we come down in these localized capsules of personal identity, and we enact these different roles. We have different nuances of experience, until pretty soon we have thoroughly experienced everything that this particular planet has to offer. And then we graduate. Where? Well, it depends on what we want to learn. We might go to another planet to specialize in whatever they have to offer. We may go to an interdimensional realm where they have schools and opportunity to serve in a state other than a physical incarnation. There are worlds and there's a life lived at each dimension that's as real, as solid, as tangible as the room you're sitting in right now. It's not clouds and nothing. There are worlds within worlds, the many mansions of the Father that Jesus spoke of. And they're wonderful. Earth, which is simply a reflection of the astral world just above it, is beautiful. Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff, but it's also very beautiful. If the earth is so beautiful, can you imagine how gorgeous the astral plane is? And if the astral plane is gorgeous, which is simply a reflection of the causal, can you imagine how glorious the causal realm is? And if the causal realm is glorious, can you imagine how absolutely splendiferous the mental realm is? And if the mental realm is glorious, oh, can you imagine what the etheric realm is like, that carries the blueprint of all of the lower realms? Oh, and if that's a reflection of the next higher plane, oh, my heavens, you're up in the soul realm, the first positive realm of God, beyond duality, beyond any shadow, any negativity, the soul realm. The golden kingdom, that place that when you are situated in that consciously and secured there, anchored in that awareness, you're God realized. That's the goal. You have realized your divine self, your true self. So, beauty, beauty, beauty is everywhere, and life and experience. And that's why we're here, to have all of these, whatever it is we're going through, because no one can die. The minute you think you die, you're born to the most glorious next dimension. The minute you think you're going to have an accident, divine grace lifts you out of that body before there's ever a crash. The same thing with a terrorist act or any kind of a violent act. People who have been able to communicate from the other side, every time they say they're lifted out of the body, they experience no pain, and they were held in absolute love. Rape victims also. People who've been molested or murdered. Every one of them say that they were taken out of the body before that act occurred and were held in the most incredible love, and all they could feel and experience was great, great compassion for the person that was molesting them or killing them or whatever. So nobody dies. Nobody. So every experience is going to turn to a blessing. And you will understand the reason for it when you look back. And it's like the crucible in which all of the dross is transmuted into pure gold. All of the dross is burned out of us through adversity. But again, you can also have so much lifted from your need to go through it by totally turning your life over to the Lord. So are you feeling stressed out or burned out or bummed out? So what are you involved in that's not working for you? And what are you making more important than your centered composure? More important than a carefree lightheartedness and a peaceful mind? So what are you doing or trying to make happen? What are you trying to change or control? And why? What is the purpose? So we most suffer when we are looking only to ourselves and our own doing, our own cleverness, our own acting and arranging, and give no thought at all to God. Isn't that where most people find themselves? And that being the position of most people today is why there's so much stress and disease on the planet. Disease is caused by stress. And both stress and disease arise from forgetting that we are not left alone here. We're not here to muddle through life on our own. There is a divine creator, and there is a divine plan in which we all have been assigned a part to play. And that divine creator takes embodiment as the individualized soul within every person. And we all have one universal master that is seated within every heart, giving guidance through conscience and intuition. Now, we may not choose to listen to it, but it's always speaking. There is no one that is not having an ongoing communication with God. It's just, how much do you want to stop and listen? So when we ignore or allow the mind alone to direct us, we suffer stress and burnout and breakdown. So you can tell when you're allowing your mind to edge God out because you're stressed out, exhausted, and scraping the bottom of the barrel of your human resources. You're out of gas and sputtering about on empty. So we were not designed to operate on our own strength, disconnected from the divine power source. We, every one of us, were created to be human. Hue is an ancient word for the divine principle. So human means God-man. Hue for God, and man for the manifester of that divine power through the illumined mind. There's the ego mind, or the ego's use of mind, and there's also the illumined mind, the Christ mind, the mind that has been illumined by the divine presence within. So we're all here to be conduits of source power, energy, and creative intelligence. And that's how we are meant to use our mind and our thoughts and our speech. And when we are connected to the divine source, that vivifying current of energy sustains our strength, and we feel energized rather than depleted. So watch when you feel your energy start to drain. That's generally when you're operating in your mind and the ego's taken over. You'll often hear John Rogers say when he was giving a seminar that the energy is backed off. And when the energy backs off, he stops. And most of us who are teachers are very familiar with that feeling when the energy goes flat and we don't feel that support, that flow. We're kind of working too hard at it. We learn to stop and watch where we've gotten into the mind stream instead of the flow of spirit. So you learn that. You know, a teacher learns to teach by teaching. A public speaker learns to publicly speak by speaking publicly. So we all learn by getting out there and doing whatever it is we do and watching how it works and discerning where it doesn't. So, in a group interview with Sai Baba, in which I was present, this was in India back probably in the 70s or 80s, there was a woman who complained about being tired all the time. And Sai Baba said that God is energy, and explained how we deplete our energy by talking too much. He says too much talking drains the energy, and also thinking. So we deplete our energy when we're engaging in absolutely useless talking, useless worry, tail chasing, speculating, and all of that. And when we're doing that, it's a sign that we are identified with the egoic mind rather than the soul or Atma. And Sai Baba advised us to limit our speech to a minimum, speaking only when necessary, and only about positive, preferably spiritual things, and only in a pleasant manner with a soft tone of voice. He said that our speech ought to give rise to happiness and to awaken ananda, bliss, in our listener. Wow. He said our speech ought to give rise to happiness and give ananda, bliss, to our listeners. Wow. I guess we wouldn't be doing much talking if we just did that, right? He also said you can't always accommodate, but you can always speak accommodatingly. And he said, never, never, never to say anything that would cause harm to another, ever. Even if you have to bring correction, you know, or speak something that could possibly hurt someone, find a way to say it so it does not hurt that person. So our speech is a great gift given by God to man alone. And it has the power of creation or destruction, depending on how it is utilized. And so when we speak only positive, spiritually uplifting words, we are beginning to build in power in our voice. And then we will use words with great care and consider carefully the effect before we speak. This was a very powerful and strong series of training that a lot of us had in the ancient mystery schools, which taught that the mind must lose the ability to wound before genuine power can be entrusted to it. So there was a tremendous discipline placed upon speech. In fact, some of the Lemurian schools, you actually had to be silent for as long as sometimes 7 years before you were allowed to speak. I've been primarily in silence for the last 7 years myself. 7 years and 7 months. I speak very rarely, generally just this radio show, and when I have visitors. Otherwise, I'm in the silence all the time. And I've had extraordinary experiences because of the conservation of speech. But even when you're not talking, if your mind is busy, that's speech as well. So that's why silence, both outer and inner, is a characteristic of a truly enlightened person. Really, there's not much that needs to be said. Everyone is working out their karma. They're doing the best that they know how, the best way they know how. So, you know, you really need to just support people and love them where they are and let them be. So always ask yourself, what's really going on here? Is it my direct responsibility to be involved in this? If so, how and why? And how do I want to handle this without karmic repercussions? How would I like this to play out? And then discipline yourself to enact the most ideal, spiritually uplifting, conscientiously accountable way that you can possibly handle every situation with love, with integrity, with honesty, impeccably, and make your life truly, truly beautiful. And ask yourself often throughout the day, what is the most helpful thing I can offer in this situation? And listen, the Holy Spirit will tell you. What do I really want to have happen here? This is very good to ask yourself in times of argument or heated situations. How would you like this to come out? Sometimes you'll see couples fighting like they hated each other, and really all they want is each other's love. But if you'd look at them and how they're speaking and behaving, you'd think that their intention is really to harm that other person or to create a separation. So that's why you need to be really careful in relationships. And if you really want to keep that relationship intact, really watch your words. And either way, watch your words, because you will have to eat them someday. You will be held accountable for that. So always ask yourself, what purpose is this serving? Is this serving the ego or God? What is my intention in this? What lesson is this offering to me? Or what in my nature is this situation testing? Or what opportunity does this particular situation offer to me? There's a lesson, a learning, a test, or an opportunity in everything that happens to us. Can I actually improve this situation and be an instrument of grace? You know, sometimes we can, and sometimes we're told to just stand down and just hold the light. So you ask yourself, am I willing to be divinely used to bring healing, joining, and reconciliation here? Sometimes you're really sent in to a situation to shift the dynamic from destruction to new life, regeneration, and reconciliation. But allow that one that is greater to use you. Be an instrument, like Jesus, of yourself do nothing. Allow the Father within you to direct you at all times and do only what that divine spirit guides you to do. How can you tell the difference? The divine spirit, it impulses you, it impels you, it causes you to move and do things that you of yourself, if you had a moment to think, probably wouldn't do it because you'd be too self-conscious, too insecure, too shy. But when the spirit operates, it's got a boldness to it. We can call it the anointing. It's bold. It is not thinking about itself and how it looks and how it's going to sound. So that's one way you can tell. So involve God in every situation throughout your day. If you start your day with God, spend your day with God, and you do that by filling your day with love, and then you end your day with God, you'll be living entirely stress-free. And so, start your day in the right way. Stretch like a cat. Do some meditation. Yoga and meditation is an excellent way to start the day, but you pick whatever it is. But move your body and stretch and pray and align and sing and chant and tone and whatever it is that you do to bring in that higher energy. Do your lesson, your Course in Miracles, whatever it is, and start your day right. And put that day under the complete governance of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill, use, and anoint you in everything that you interact with that day. May it be Spirit-led and Spirit-directed. And thus we come to walk as the sons and daughters of God, bringing in a golden age and an entirely new paradigm upon this planet. And that's what we're here at this point in time to do. That and nothing else. So I hope this has been helpful for you. I have had quite an enlightened week myself, and it's a very, very powerful time on our planet with the upcoming solar eclipse on the 20th. And we're all feeling that energy coming in. It's extremely powerful. So let go and let God and step out of the doer position and let that which is greater do through you the will of God. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting. Let's do Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. All the worlds and all the beings of all the worlds everywhere have peace. Namaste.